Coaches, I wanted to take a quick minute before we jump into today's episode to remind you about the power of our Green Team Framework. Now, if you're a coach who's been with us for many years, you know how powerful the Green Team is. And for all those that are new, you need to take advantage of it starting today. In fact, we guarantee that within 30 days, you will have more committed, consistent, and competitive athletes in your program once you implement the 7 parts of the Green Team Framework. It's a leadership framework that, as one of our coaches in St. Louis said, is like leadership cheat code. It's as if we figured out all the right buttons to push to get your players to level up. So, coach, if you haven't gotten started with Lead 'Em Up, get involved today and start taking advantage of the leadership framework, the Green Team Framework that will transform your program. And if you're already in Lead 'Em Up, you know the power of the Green Team. We just want to encourage you, keep building your Green Team. Keep going deeper. Keep reaping the benefits. Hey, listen, make sure you're building your Green Team. But in the meantime, enjoy today's episode. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Thank you for hanging with us. I am Adam alongside Kyle. And Kyle, today we're building on the momentum from a recent email that I shared. If you haven't been following the emails, absolutely go on our site and check them out. I do kind of like a weekly email, just shifting people's leadership mindsets. And I wrote one the other day titled, What to Do with the 1%. Now, 1%, let's define it in light of how I position an email, because we've got a theme called 1%, 1%ing better every day, right? Or the top 1%. That's not where I was going in this email. Where I was going is, what do you do with that 1% that is just resisting, that is just defiant? Yeah. That is showing no interest, just pulling you down. And it's interesting because the more we work and are out in this space and just the pure nature of the number of people that we're reaching through our trainings and such, we've got a large number that inevitably there will be a small percentage, 1%, maybe 2%, that won't like what we have to say. They won't like what we're doing. They, for one reason or another, and there are plenty of other reasons, they defy it, they resist it, they push back on it. And it can be kind of challenging, but like, what do you do with them? Like, what do you do with that feedback? And, you know, I can speak firsthand on this because we don't necessarily survey a lot through Lead 'Em Up, you know, where we like survey the coaches post-trainings. We don't survey the students post-training. A lot more of that is anecdotal and just even in conversation feedback of sorts. And occasionally we will do kind of company-wide surveys, but we're not doing it like, you know, regularly after every training. My work at Towson, on the other hand, that's the opposite. I mean, every single training, workshop, group, no one leaves without doing a survey anonymously right there on the in the training. So at the end of the thing, there's a little QR code and they make everyone do a survey. I'll be honest with you, Kyle, and I feel really good about this. I'm about a 98, 99% success rate, like in the scoring. And I've got all the data, it's in a folder, that on average, about 98, 99% score me 5 out of 5 on the facilitation. I'm not trying to like brag elbows. No, it just is. And I feel really good about it, right? I've worked really hard.
Right. To kind of yeah, that's awesome. And
trust me, there's probably areas in my life that I get a 0 out of 5, you know, that I'm not good at. But this is something I've really worked hard and I take a lot of pride in, and I want to impact people and deliver great presentations. 98, 99%, 5 out of 5 is where I'm at. But holy smokes, there is this 1%, 2%, inevitably that have no interest in it. I mean, almost detest me. Like almost like, oh, it's not pretty. And I've heard them. They've shared it. They've expressed
probably
it.
Pretty loud.
Vocal. They're loud. I mean, I've been cornered. I've been communicated via email. I've had people Facebook message me. you know, and they make it pretty clear, and they're pretty, you know, passionate about it, frankly. And you sit there and you have to wrestle with this dynamic of just like, what do you do with that feedback? Like, how do you wrestle with it? How should one hold on to those remarks, knowing that it's such a small percentage and it clearly is not capturing the full picture there? We also don't want to be fully dismissive, I don't think, on one end, because it is someone's feeling. What do you do? And I shared what I think you do, but before I even share that, you know, we kind of get into it. What are your thoughts here?
It's so tough. And I think about it from the lens of, like, you know, our audience, teachers and coaches, because that happens every season. And when it happens, and when you have people that complain, although they are the 1% in the minority, they're very vocal and they say very hurtful things. And it's really hard for someone, especially, you know, our teachers and our coaches, who put so much time, effort, and energy into what they do, for someone to question them. And, you know, we know someone firsthand from a small group that we work with, where something was taken completely out of context. And someone sees something that happens and then starts throwing these accusations out there. And that's the unfortunate reality of the world we live in, is like, man, you've got to take so many hits from these 1%ers that are so negative, where you do start to question, like, am I good? Is what I'm doing worthwhile? And it really challenges, like, your confidence and your self-worth. And that's where you've got to rely. You know, there's so many layers that we can get to this, but I've seen it a lot this year with, you know, coaches that either I coached with in my son's youth team, like one parent out of 30 kids, man, this guy, it was almost at the end of the year, it got to the point where it was almost harassment, like emails that were being sent to a volunteer head coach. It was insane. And then other coaches locally, just hearing some of the stories about parents complaining, calling them out, questioning their character. Kid wasn't playing very much. One kid gets hurt in front of them, and all of a sudden the kid's playing a lot more. That 1%er is now not saying very much. So I think one of the things that we have to do first off is, like, question the motive of the individual who's complaining. What's their reason, and what might be their motive in the athletic space or in the education space? And then I think we can start to evaluate the merit behind it, if there is any.
Man, you said something there that really resonated. It can be hurtful, right? When those comments come and you actually do find yourself allowing it to question, like, your confidence. You know, am I good in this? Does this work? Does it not? It's why, Kyle, frankly, when I look at it, here's what I say. You have to 100% attentively ignore it.
Yeah, you do.
Now, one could say, well, hold on, what is attentively ignore it? Attentively ignoring it is keeping a element of your attention on it while also simultaneously ignoring it.
Right.
And it's a little bit of a balance here. So why do I say ignore it? You got to ignore it. You got to ignore it. Because if it does land in that 99% to 1%, okay? If it is in that space, you have to ignore it. Because let me tell you why. One, if you try to satisfy that 1%, you will then create a new 1% in the 99 that you just now changed for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There will be a new 1% somewhere in that 99 as you change and adjust and adapt, that it'll then kind of upset somebody in the 99, and you will be living in a big real life game of whack-a-mole. Oh, you remember the game, right? You can't get them little moles down. Every time you hit one down, another one pops up. Boom, boom, boom. It's like you pull one down. And then that's what happens with the 1%. If you go and you try to accommodate that or adjust for that 1%, you will then inevitably open up the door for a new 1% to arrive. And you'll never be able to get to this place of 100% satisfaction. And I don't even think it's realistic. And if you're living in the 99, the reason you also need to ignore the 1% is because if what the 1% was experiencing was valid enough, not saying it's not valid, but valid enough, right? Significant enough, it wouldn't be 1%.
Right. Go with what the majority is saying. The overwhelming majority, I think you've got to rely on that confidence, although it's hard to do. I think you've got to put some stock into that and realize that there's always going to be people that are unhappy and they're just looking for something to be unhappy about.
But if there was something significant, like if I said something truly like detrimental, inappropriate to this poor person commenting on it,
mm-hmm.
there'd be more than 1%.
Right.
There'd be more than 1%. So that is why the attentively ignore it is you also need to pay close attention to it, because if that number increases, you better act. And I don't know where the threshold lands. I don't know if it's 5% after, you know, the work you do or complain, if it's 10%, if it's 3%, if it's 7%, I don't quite know. And I don't think there is a clean number, but if it stays in that small of a minority, you got to ignore it, but you got to pay loose attention to it to see if it does begin to increase and people begin to kind of also share the same sentiment. Cause at some point you now need to fully address it.
Right.
So that's why it's almost this balance of attentively ignoring it. I'm going to ignore it. And frankly, that is where I'm at right now. And I'll be honest, it's one of the most freeing things to walk into the room and know, like, okay, I'm doing a keynote here with 300 people today. Let's just say to go in and know out of the gate that, you know what, there's probably going to be 3 to 5 that can't stand this.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to take it personal, because to your point, there's a little saying, it's the chair behind the chair. Have you ever heard that?
Different versions of it, but not necessarily. I haven't heard chair behind the chair.
Yeah, I remember our friends at Walk in Love, they talk about that all the time, the chair behind the chair. It's really like, hey, what's really going on here? Like, I see you showing up this way, but what's really happening behind the scenes? So it's like, I see you sitting there postured up and delivering this, but what's the chair behind the chair? Like, where's it really coming from? So I know, like, okay, I'm going to deliver a keynote, 300 people. There's going to be 3 to 5 people that can't stand it, that are upset and annoyed about it. But you know what? Like, I'm okay with that. I'm not even going to try to like get that. I don't even have the capacity to get to that. I don't even have the relationship to get to that, because there's probably a chair behind the chair that's really the issue.
Oh yeah,
it's just coming out through this, right? And it really probably isn't even me. It probably could have been insert ABC person, whoever it happened to be, and you'd have 3 to 5 people that wouldn't like it because there's just other things going on. And it's not that I like want to ignore feedback to not try to get better. The reality is you can't land in 100%. You can't, and you just have to trust and build the confidence through your work and over time with success that you say, you know what? I understand you're saying whatever you're saying right now, but like, I think there's something else going on. I'm not going to take it personal. If I hear from more, maybe I'll consider. But right now, like I know what I'm able to deliver and I know what I bring to the table. And I've got enough people on the one end celebrating and endorsing it that I'm leaning in on that. Because the other thing I'm on this, not only do you play the game of whack-a-mole where you try to satisfy that 1% and you'd open up another 1%, you also have to ignore it because you can't let that 1% derail you from the benefit the 99% are getting from you.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what you've got to remember, because again, it's when that surfaces, you're like, man, that was not my intent. I didn't do that. Or you feel bad that someone were to say something like that. And, you know, and anyone that's been in education for a long enough time, you know, shoot, you probably just even a year at this point, but you're going to have some of those emails that come in or complaints that go to the principal or the athletic director, this, that, and the other. But you've got to then think about, okay, what's going on with the majority of the group. And if I start focusing all my time and attention over here on this loud, squeaky wheel that, you know, is just basically unhappy for whatever reason, like you said, the chair behind the chair, well, now you're doing a disservice to the other 60 plus people that are in the program, or 100 plus people that are being affected by it. So that's, you know, I love that you brought that up, because I was thinking about, like, you know, in the educational world, sometimes it's easy to get caught up on the kid that's asleep in class. And, you know, a teacher might look at it like, how could this kid be sleeping in my class? I can't believe that. I mean, don't they care about their future? Blah, 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 blah. Well, you get to having a conversation with them and you realize what's the chair behind what's going on at home. Like, they don't sleep when they go home. Maybe they have to take care of their family because of home life situations, or they're working, or, you know, maybe the person that is sending the complaints, they're just hurt about something else, and this is their way of lashing out. And I think, like you said, you inattentively pay attention to it, but you keep serving the majority who is benefiting from it. And let that define, like, your success and your worth, and raise your confidence is those numbers there.
Hey guys, this is Kayla from Chick-fil-A, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. They say that you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. So the question is your circle forcing you to level up? I often remind my team that they are responsible for who they allow to influence their life. Are those people contributing to their success, or are they holding them back? Great leaders know when and how to edit their circle, because you see, as the leader changes, the circle has to change. It doesn't mean that you're cutting people out of your life completely, but you're limiting the amount of time that you spend with them and how much influence you give them over your habits and your commitments. So my challenge for you today is that as you continue to fight for personal growth, commit to selecting the right people to influence your habits and match your hustle. Surround yourself only with people that force you to level up. Now let's jump back to the episode.
I'd say the other reason I think it's important to throw the attentive word in there, Kyle. What's that quote that says, like, keep your friends close, but keep your
enemies closer?
Enemies closer. Because I think the other dynamic here of why you just got to be attentive to it, aware, right? Not completely ignoring, but just aware and observant of it. Because you also need to see what that 1% is doing. Because right. If they come to you and they complain to you, oh, I didn't like this. I'm not liking your program. Oh, I didn't like how you delivered this talk, you know? And okay. I hear it. I'm going to process it. You know, it's one person out of 100. I'm going to ignore it. But I'm also going to keep slight attention to it, because I'm going to pay very close attention if they're now trying to get others to join them.
Yeah.
Right. If it gets into rule five of Reds are great recruiters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they start going around and literally trying to get others, and when they do that, when they start trying to get others to now buy into their 1% feeling, right? That was really more of a personal thing, or maybe something deeper, or whatever going on. And now you're trying to build a community around that, because you don't want to be the only one who feels this way. Because remember, we talk a lot about, why do Reds recruit? They want to recruit for affirmation, because they want validation on how they're feeling. Secondly, yep, they want to recruit for community, because they want to build community, because community will normalize their Red behavior, right? Because if I'm the only one that feels this way, I stand out. But if everyone feels that way, then I show others that I wasn't wrong, right? That my feeling was normal. Everyone feels that way. So they're going to, if they go and try to recruit others to it to protect themselves, I need to be aware of that, because now it's a bigger issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now I can't just ignore the 1%, because that 1% is really actually trying to create
a majority.
Yeah. They're trying to create it. So now I can't ignore. So I'm going to, like, literally read a piece of feedback and I'm like, ooh, that hurts. That sucks. All right. Pushing that off to the side, but noting it, And it's that noting that I hold on loosely, and I just keep an eye on it.
Right.
I'm not allowing it to penetrate my confidence. I'm not allowing it to penetrate my belief in what we're doing. I'm not allowing it to change our strategy of all these big things because of one voice out of 100. So I'm ignoring it in that regard, but I'm keeping an eye on it. I'm noting it. One, to see if it increases just naturally without a recruiting, right? Maybe it is the beginning of a trend that I'm starting to do wrong, or, you know, that I'm starting to make mistakes and all that. And all of a sudden that one voice today, but all of a sudden now it's like a theme that I'm hearing about me, like over time. I want to stay aware of that and attentive to that on the just case it grows. And I also want to stay attentive to it in the just in case they start trying to recruit others in it and build something bigger. Because then I'm going to jump in and figure out the plan of attack to counter it, right? Like that type of thing. But I just tell you, I think, and I was actually with an HVAC group today that, frankly, the night before, yes, last night, they got a 1%, or sorry, 1%. They got a 1-star review. Their average, they're like a 4.98, like,
Yeah, pretty high up.
Like, oh, it's high. They got a 1-star. And we literally were talking about this. And they're going to read it, but they all literally were like, you know what? I'm not even, like, we'll address them. We'll do our normal follow-up on anything under 3 stars. But they literally all were saying, not even going to pay much mind to it. It's not because we don't agree. It's not because we don't care. But frankly, you're looking at like 1 out of every 200. And I don't want it to disrupt our confidence. I don't want it to disrupt the confidence of the tech that went out there. They basically were like, yeah, we're just going to ignore it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't blame you.
No, when it's in that low of a minority, I think that's what you have to do. And like we said, is you'll notice any trends moving forward. But I think that's a great call. You don't want to disrupt that confidence of the tech going out there, because that's in the back of the mind. So protecting that. That's a great call out.
It feels weird though, Kyle. I think that this is where people may be wrestling with. And I think it's probably where I wrestled for so long. Until I landed in this place where I'm strong in this place now. I'm strong in this place. Someone have to come in and convince me off of this posture here. I'm in this posture, right? 1%, ignore it. 3, 4, 5, maybe start paying attention. But you get the point. It's weird to get here, because to say, like, you're getting a complaint where someone's sharing it, it feels weird to say ignore it. Because someone will say, well, that's their feeling. That's how they feel. And if they feel that way, you should be aware, because maybe you did something. And on one end, they're right. On one end, they're right. But you literally, you have to just make a decision. Am I going to chase that? Am I going to chase satisfying that? Am I going to divert my mental energy to that? You just have to make a decision, and you just can't do it. If you want to be a high performer that is really maximizing your time and your energy and delivering impact and all these different things, you have to just wrestle with it and say, you know what? I know it feels weird to say I'm ignoring it, but I have to, I can't occupy myself with that. It's not going to help the bigger picture. It's not going to drive us closer to where we go. And it does feel weird, Kyle. It feels like you're like being closed-minded and like shutting people down and saying you don't care. But kind of are in that small percentage.
Yeah. I think it just goes to, like, you have to be able to protect your joy, protect your peace, and, not allow a small percentage to take that away from you. And just realize that that's inevitable. If the longer you're in any type of business, the longer you're in coaching, the longer you're in education, there's always going to be those people. That's inevitable, and you just have to realize that.
And you actually owe it to the 99 not to get consumed with the one. And that's kind of what you were alluding to earlier in like the teacher classroom environment, right? You got one kid, all of a sudden the teacher's just like full attention on that one kid right now. Everyone else doesn't want that. Mm-hmm. Hey, don't forget about me. Don't ignore me. I'm here too. You owe it to that 99%. And I'll speak firsthand. I mean, there's been some comments that have been shared at times where it's just like in that 1% crowd over the years where it's just like, it does hurt. It does hurt. And I'd be lying to say there haven't been moments where I'm like, almost to the point I'm like, I don't even want to work with this group anymore. Right. Cause they've got that 1% in there that's loud and frustrating, discouraging. But if I do that, if I don't ignore it, I lean into it and allow it to consume my thought process. Now I'm doing a major disservice to the 99 and I can't do that. I can't do that. So
I think too, it's a great, it's always a great reminder. Like one of the professors I had when doing like plus hours, for like a master's plus degree, his name was Richard Overfelt. And he would always, you know, pose the question of like, what would the 16-year-old version think of yourself? And when we're talking about these topics too, since, you know, the majority of our listeners are working with young people, I think we need to also wrestle with and kind of realize like our kids are dealing with these same things every single day. And we don't give them enough credit for it. On the challenges of it. And that's one of the things I like to speak to when we teach like the green team and we're talking about, you know, gray is safe, but it's not special. And when we think about like the phones that we have, you know, and I always make fun of myself is like when I was growing up, I didn't have a cell phone in high school. My cell phone was a Motorola flip phone that I share with my mom that you had to unplug the back of it and charge that thing. Like, and we had beepers. So we didn't have the challenge of waking up and being bombarded with messaging and negativity all day long. And like, we might get an email or maybe there's some person that's rude on Facebook that leaves a comment or something like that. And as adults, that can really throw us off and interrupt us and like distract us. But man, kids are dealing with that at such a higher level and in a more frequency than what we are. And so when we're talking about like, how do we wrestle with it? Sometimes I think we can learn from our kids in the way that they handle it. The ones that are mature enough to block it out, to tune it out, to not engage with it, to allow it to, you know, not interfere with how they're showing up, because I think they're wrestling with it a lot. They're dealing with it a lot. Like you might not every teacher is your favorite teacher. Not every class is your favorite class. And you go to one particular class and maybe someone has a snarky comment that they say, and now they have to go to practice afterwards and they're carrying this. Like I always try to look at it through the lens of the kids that we teach and we work with and just how they handle it. Because as coaches, we need to be reminded that they're dealing with it in the same way we are. And part of our job as a mentor and a leader is maybe helping them learn from things that we're going through and kind of talking with them about it.
Bro, you brought up the beeper. I'm like living in a nostalgia era.
You always have to explain it because kids look at you cross-eyed these days. Like,
do you remember how you'd say I love you on a beeper?
No, I've never really had it. I don't think I ever actually had a beeper. I was that dude that didn't have one.
Hey, listen, you had to schmooze the ladies with a little 831, eight letters, three words, one meaning.
That must
you couldn't
have
been, put, you couldn't
have
put letters,
Maryland
you had to put
thing.
Numbers.
Yeah, I don't know. St.
Or
Louis,
or there was also 143.
Yeah, I don't know. That was your.
Oh man,
we didn't have that
show
in St.
me
Louis.
State because that's a show me state. They didn't want to hear it. On a text, they wanted you to show them that you loved them.
That's right.
And, you know, last thing I'll say on this is, you know, there's a motto that I've lived for quite some time. Internally, I've shared it on over the years at times, but it's a little phrase that says, love those who don't want it, but walk with those who do.
No.
Love those who don't want it and walk with those who do. And I think that captures where I land on this 1%. You know, when I do experience that, like, listen, those people, I'm still going to keep serving them. I'm going to keep loving them. I'm going to keep trying to build them up. I'm going to keep showing up for them. But I can't walk with my like full focus. I got to walk with those who do, like those that are in. And if there's a 99.1% listen, once again, I'm gonna keep showing up for you. I'm gonna keep caring for you, keep hoping and supporting, and you know, but man, I'm not gonna walk down that path. That's not where I'm going. That's not my energy. That's not where all my folks are going. I'm gonna walk with those who do and love those who don't want it. Right. And we'll, and I keep it like that. And that's just kind of where kind of I've operated at, you know? So anyways, you know, if you're a coach or a teacher or really anyone in any profession that deals at times, you know, with people that don't agree with you or don't like what you're doing, if you can have an honest conversation and really believe that it is a 99 to 1%, because remember, I've said a couple of times, there is a threshold. Don't ignore the 25%. Right? No. Like, don't ignore the 25%. They've got a message you probably need to hear and make a change. But if you really do get to the place where it is that limited, and you really are able to, in all honesty, wrestle with the confidence and know that, like, hey, what you're doing is the right thing, and you got enough people supporting it, and you got to kind of position them, compartmentalize them into a separate compartment and keep it moving and attentively ignore them. So, hey, I hope this was helpful for you as you were listening. If you may be wrestling with challenging people in your life, on behalf of Kyle, I'm Adam. And on behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, everyone, thank you for listening. Have fun and lead 'em up.